A story is told about a 6-year-old boy who came home from school one day with a note written by his teacher suggesting that he be taken out of class because he just couldn't keep up, he couldn't learn. Later, that teacher was proved to be completely wrong in his assessment, as Thomas Alva Edison went on to excel in many areas later in life. It's hard to believe that a teacher would do something that insensitive. This is Focus on the Family, and today we'll hear from a man who knows all about not only intellectual discernment, but also the incredible importance of encouraging and accepting boys and girls just as they are. I'm Mike Trout. Thanks for joining us for another edition of our broadcast, hosted by psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson.
Mike, we need to give a little bit of background for today's program, especially for those who have become interested in our broadcast and our ministry in the last few years. They may not remember a very important era having to do with a man named Guy Dowd. Back in 1988, he came to our attention after he had been designated Teacher of the Year
and I remember it well.
Received an award from President Reagan in the Oval Office for being Teacher of the Year. And someone sent us a tape of him speaking to an audience, and it was powerful. It was absolutely wonderful. And we aired it on Focus on the Family, and we, at that point, didn't know Guy Dowd, but we aired that tape and received over 100,000 requests for that tape. I mean, the response was absolutely overwhelming. So we became acquainted with Guy Dowd, and he came here to the ministry. Ultimately, we did a video of that presentation. In fact, two of them. One of them was called Molder of Dreams, which was done for teenagers. And the other one was called Classroom of the Heart, which was done for teachers. And both of those videos were, I think, the most popular videotaped presentations in the country for a number of years. They're still absolutely wonderful. I mean, they're as good now as they were then, people have kind of forgotten that. Today we're going to return to a Guy Dowd presentation. It's not the same one, but it is another message that he's given that I think our listeners are really going to enjoy.
I remember the time I first heard that cassette, that original tape. I was driving in the car going home, and I thought to myself, this is one of the best messages I've ever heard. He loves kids, and that'll become obvious as we listen to today's program.
Mike, every teenager ought to see Molder of Dreams. Every parent, too, for that matter. And every teacher ought to see Classroom of the Heart.
I mentioned that he loves kids. Guy Dowd calls himself a feeler. He has an understanding of kids for some special reasons that we'll hear about. And he cares about young people, especially those who hurt. At one point, Guy weighed over 300 pounds, and he went through an extremely difficult childhood, as you might imagine, because of that. He was rejected. He had some troubles at home. And whatever he went through in his life, it gave him a great sensitivity to the young people that he taught and to whom he speaks to today.
Guy Dowd taught in Brainerd, Minnesota, where he was employed by the Brainerd School District as a language arts teacher in the high school level. I've already indicated that he was chosen as National Teacher of the Year. That was in 1986. He was chosen out of more than 2.5 million teachers in America, so that's quite an honor. And it's an honor for us to have him by tape on Focus on the Family.
He's speaking at an annual praise gathering, I think one of the Bill Gaither praise gatherings in Anderson, Indiana. Here's Guy Dowd.
There's something you've got to know about me before I really get into the meat of what I want to say tonight. When I was in college and studying Shakespeare and reading about Shakespeare's characters, Henry Walpole was writing about Shakespeare's characters, and he said, you know, life is a comedy for those who think, and it's a tragedy for those who feel. Now, most of us are a pretty good blend of the two. We're equal thinker, equal feeler, but not me. I'm an extreme case. I'm a feeler. I see things with my heart. I have heart trouble. It breaks very, very easily. And I didn't ask to be this way. This is the gift or the burden or however you want to look at it that God gave me. I always wanted to be more stoical. I grew up in my home where my dad even told my sisters, men don't cry. And you know, no matter how far we've come as a society, it's still not really acceptable for men to take down the masks and let their true emotions and feelings out. You think of what's happening in our families today, and in the case of the vanishing fathers, and even those fathers who live with their kids, who the average American father spends less than 12 minutes of good interaction with their children every week. That was the kind of family I grew up in. And it's the kind of family a lot of kids are growing up in. So I got this heart trouble. And so as I've traveled and people say, what do you think about teacher competency testing? What do you think about merit pay? What do you think about accountability? What do you think about the reform movement in education? I look at them, I say, why don't you ask me what I think about kids? Because I'm in the kid business. That's why I went into teaching. And I love kids. And I'm worried about them. Kids like my kids. Son Seth started kindergarten this year. Luke starts next year. He's in preschool this year. And Seth, after just 2 weeks of school, was walking down the hall and he didn't even know I was listening. He says, I love it! And I said, what do you love, honey? And he turned around and he says, school, Dad. And oh, that made my heart feel so good. I said, well, what do you love about it, honey? He says, three things, Dad. Riding the bus, lunch, and recess. Not exactly what a teacher wants to hear. But you know, I think about those kids growing up. And it kind of frightens me because it's a different world out there. Polled the teachers of the 1940s and asked them, what are the most serious problems you face in class? And they listed number one, chewing gum. Believe it or not, chewing gum doesn't even make the top 100 anymore. What's the second most pressing problem you face in your classes? Talking out loud. Number three, throwing paper. Polled the teachers of the 1980s. What are the most serious problems you face in your classes today? And in the top 10, you find drug and alcohol problems. You find rape. You find sexual abuse. You find teenage pregnancy. You find suicide. You find eating disorders, bulimia, and anorexia. No wonder some of these kids don't care about split infinitives. And if we have to place the blame anywhere, I'm going to place it back on the family. Because too many parents have mortgaged the souls of their children to buy things. I knew everybody in my graduating class. We were together K through 12. Occasionally, one would move away and somebody new would move in and you got to know them right away too. And you know what? I don't know one of my classmates whose parents were divorced. Now, sometimes single-parent families are better options than abusive situations. I'm not saying that. But I think we've given up far too easily on the institution of marriage. In fact, I heard about a new wedding vow that's actually being used. I promise to stay married to you as long as I love you. Doesn't that make you kind of want to puke? Family. With a mom and a dad committed to one another and to God, submitting to one another, husbands submitting to wives, wives submitting to husbands, children honoring and obeying their fathers is what God really intended. And I was saying this at in a city down in southern Minnesota, and this guy got up and he just stormed out. He was mad. And afterwards, the person that had asked me to speak says, you know, that guy, he just got divorced. He's had some other problems in his life, and I think you struck a nerve with him. And I felt bad. I'm a feeler. And I was leaving town. I was about 3 miles outside of Slayton, Minnesota. All of a sudden, this car comes pulling up behind me, flashing its lights, honking its horn. We pulled over, and it's this guy. Gets out of his car. He comes running back to my car. He starts waving, motioning me to get out of the car. I thought, he's going to beat me up. And I got out of the car, and I had my fist ready, you know, and shield off the blows, you know. Turn the other cheek, you know. And he put his arms around me, and he embraced me. And he stood sobbing into my shoulder for about 5 minutes. And he said, don't stop saying what you're saying, because you're right. You're right. He says, my son, 16 years old, he killed himself last spring. I never was a dad to him. I never was a dad. You're right. And we get back to the church. We almost seem to put signs sometimes on the church that says, don't enter unless you got it all together. And you're not welcome if you're going to come here and really talk about your problems. I think the church needs to be more like a local bar. It needs to be a place where people can come in and say, you know, I hurt. It needs to be a place where you can come in and you say, you know, I failed. You know, it's a place where you need to come in and you say, you can say, my marriage is on the rocks, help. It's even a place where you can come in and say, you know, I have to admit it, but I'm depressed right now. It needs to be that loving place. You see, because the Jesus I know. So I heard somebody say once that he never called anybody a sinner. I couldn't believe it. I got out my red-lettered edition. I read it 3 times. Never once did he call anybody a sinner. Most of the kids I know really know how miserable they really are. I don't need to tell them. Most of the adults I know really know how much is missing in their lives and how empty they feel and how meaningless and what a lack of purpose and direction there is. I don't need to tell them that. Jesus never called anybody a sinner. He called some people snakes and vipers. And those were the religious leaders of the day. But you know what he did? He went to the woman at the well, the gal that had had 5 husbands. 5. That's even pretty radical by today's standards. And she was living with a guy. She's too ashamed to come and get water when everybody else did, so she came while everybody else was sleeping. And there she ran in to the master, who looked at her and said, you know, you drink of that water, that'll take care of your human thirst for a while, but then you're going to be thirsty again. You drink of the water that I have to give, and you'll never be thirsty again. That's the Jesus I know. The Jesus who loves the woman caught in the very act of adultery. I walked into this one discussion class, and I decided to have an affective lesson for the day. Some people probably call that humanistic, I don't know. But I said, you know, these are my 2 boys. My daughter wasn't born yet. And I said, you know, my wife and I, we love them. We worry about them growing up. You know, we've both agreed that we will allow them to date when they turn 21. And only as long as one of us is along as a chaperone, you know. But, you know, I'm afraid some of them might turn out to be like you. And I said, what do I need to do as a parent? And, oh boy, the things the kids start to tell you. Be there. This one kid says, my dad talks about quality time. He says, I want quality and quantity. Be there. And so I said, well, what are the biggest problems facing you guys today? Let's list some of them on the board. And we covered the board. I said, now will you take one, and we talked about them. I said, will you take one of those and will you write about it and how it's had an impact on your life? And so they wrote about them. And you know which one they wrote about most often? Loneliness. Most of the kids wrote about how they were lonely. This one boy wrote about how he sits alone in his room with his headphones on, smoking marijuana. His folks don't know that he smokes either. How he wishes he could talk to his dad. And he ends by saying, I don't think things will ever get better. They'll only get worse. And as I finished reading that, the tears were streaming down my face. And I looked at the kids and I said, what about it? Do you have something solid in your life? Many of them feel like life is just totally meaningless. And many adults do as well. And you know why? Because it is. It is if you spend it doing what the world wants you to do, seeking fame or a career or money. It is meaningless. It's all empty. But we need something solid. We need the rock that doesn't roll. We need Jesus. Brennan Manning tells a beautiful story that I usually share with kids, but I've found that adults need to hear it as well. It's the story about a girl who kids call ugly. I can identify with that. And she went to the dances, and nobody ever asked her to dance. But she had this dream, and she was telling Brennan Manning about it. She said she dreamt that she was in a dance hall, and it was a beautiful dance hall with the big mirrored balls that reflected cascades of light. And men were all dressed in tuxedos, and the ladies were all in beautiful formals, and there were, you know, mirrored tiles on the walls as well. And she was there at this dance, thinking, well, I wonder if anybody had asked me to dance. And she sat there. She watched everybody dance. But then into the dance hall came this man, dressed in a tuxedo, a handsome, handsome man. And everybody stopped to stare at him. That's how handsome he was. And he walked right across the dance floor. And he walked right up to her. And he held out his hand. And he looked at her and he said, will you dance with me, Jenny? She looked around. Was this a joke? She'd been set up before. But she looked into his eyes and she could see that he was sincere. And she gave him her hand. And they went out onto the dance floor. And she didn't know how to dance, but in his arms she could dance. She was floating on air. She was graceful. She was alive. She was beautiful in his arms. And she looked up into his eyes and he looked right at her and he said, I love you, Jenny. I love you. And she said, and that's when I realized who I was dancing with. I was dancing with Jesus. And Jesus doesn't care. Jesus doesn't care if you're fat. Jesus doesn't care if you're what some people call ugly. Jesus doesn't care if you're from the wealthy class or poverty stricken. Jesus doesn't care. Jesus doesn't even care if you're a despicable sinner, because that's why he died on the tree. And each one of us needs to go out from here. We need to be filled up over these next few days, and we need to go back into our communities and let people see the real Jesus that we sing and we pray about. We need to open the doors of our churches and say, smokers, come on in. That's my burden. Because I see these kids, and most of them aren't in your churches. We can't be complacent. A story in closing. I've been traveling a lot. And last December, I took the whole month off just to be home with my family. I'm on a leave from my teaching job just so I can do this sort of stuff. And I was home. We'd just come home from Christmas Eve service, and we were opening our gifts. And we were watching our little daughter, who was just 7 months old at that time, as she tore into her packages. We've agreed that this year all we're going to do is buy her wrapping paper. And the phone rang. Now, Christmas Eve is one of those times at our house that the phone doesn't ring very often. And I said to Tammy, I said, I bet it's Aunt Renee calling from California, because Aunt Renee always calls on Christmas Eve. Tammy says, no, it could be Mom calling from Arizona. So I went over and I picked up the phone and I said, Merry Christmas, Dowds. Is this Mr. Dowd? I said, yeah, this is Guy Dowd. Hi, this is Chris. Chris? How many Chrises have I known over the years? Chris. I said, I'm sorry, Chris. Could you help me out a little bit? What's your last name? He says, Johnson. And in Minnesota, that helps a lot, you know. I said, Johnson. When did you graduate, Chris? He says, oh, I never graduated. Remember you tried to talk me out of dropping out? I was in your basic English class. I thought, ooh, basic English. I only taught that way back in 1975. Then they mainstreamed all those kids. I said, well, Chris, I said, you've been out of school for a long time. Mm-hmm. Then there was silence. I looked over at Jessica. She's playing with the paper. Well, what are you doing, Chris? She says, well, I'm in Stillwater, in the penitentiary here. They told us that we could call somebody tonight. My parents don't want anything to do with me anymore. And you were always my favorite teacher. You always seemed to care. And I always thought you liked me. So I just wanted to call and say Merry Christmas, Mr. Dowd. But I remembered why I'd gone into teaching. That kid could be Jesus. Oh, the need for us to be molders of dreams.
You're listening to Focus on the Family and a message by Mr. Guy Dowd, a man who has been part of this ministry for a number of years now. He's talked about his love for children in the past, and he's continued that today.
You know, Mike, it's somewhat arrogant to think that I need to come in at the end of a message like that and elaborate or clarify or add to what he said. No comment is really necessary. You could feel the audience behind him there. You could hear the hush as they related to what he was saying. I think there's a hush across North America now, too, as our listeners have related to the truth that Guy Dowd was talking about. He said he's a feeler. We're going to hear more from that feeler tomorrow.
And I hope you can be back with us for the rest of that wonderful story. This is Focus on the Family. We're here with you at the same time on a regular basis. If you'd like to know more about Focus on the Family, you can find us on the web at family.org. That's family, the word family, .org. This program has been produced by John Scott Welch. Engineering and production were handled by Jim Adam and Steve Ryder. Our executive producer is Mrs. Bobby Valentine. Our host, of course, is psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson. And I'm Mike Trout, inviting you back when we'll hear the rest of Guy's story and again turn our hearts toward home.